All right, welcome to another edition of Green Legion Radio. I'm your host, Quimby, of the Green Legion. I'm sitting here with my illustrious panel, Mr. Michael Diaz. You know him as Philly Mike. How are you, sir?
Pretty good, man. TTP.
Good to see you. Good to see you back after a couple weeks break.
Yeah, got some shit going on.
Yeah, I know. Mm. And congratulations on your upcoming nuptials. We understand you won't be getting laid anytime in the near future.
Wow.
Wow. Well, in the near future, yeah. I mean, maybe not for like the decade following.
Our condolences to you. And your mic.
Oh, wow. It's what everyone's been looking for.
There it is.
Sorry, folks. There it is. Back. Sorry.
We're back. We're back. No, congratulations. You're getting married here in, what, 3 weeks?
3 weeks from today, bud.
Ooh.
What a funeral. I mean, what?
Hollis, you want to be my date?
Sure, we can go down that wedding crash.
All right. Yeah, definitely. And to his right, number 78 in your programs, number one in your heart, 15-year NFL vet, 5 with the New Orleans Saints, Carolina Panthers, and St. Louis Rams, and 10 with your beloved Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Hollis Thomas.
Hey, good evening. How are you guys doing today?
Good, good, good. I think the mics are perfect volume right now. There's no fuzz in the system again.
No.
No, it sounds
good.
This
is really good.
I think it's when we, the wireless.
You think?
Maybe, I think it may be cause the hissing.
Well, I don't have enough battery to use it anymore because I leave it on every time I stop a show.
Oh God!
If I use it,
Jesus Christ! If we did that, Hollis, man, we'd get thrown off the balcony.
No, you're right.
But it's his shit, so he can kind of do what he wants. I kind of understand it when people say certain stuff because I used to say that to Ms. Thomas. Well, you did it because it's my shit. It's my shit. Okay,
well, that's another radio show in and of itself. Everybody, subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play by searching for Green Legion Radio. I actually did it finally the other day, and all of our episodes are up there.
That's right. Cool.
Including the Fuck Megan Rapinoe episode.
Wow. You know, I look at soccer differently now after you said all that.
There's no way to not. She's just a spoiled little runt. Yes.
Yes.
Runt. Wow.
Wow.
And Friday, it's Family Friendly Friday with Green Legion Radio.
It's the triple F. Yeah. Anyway, the Green Legion Radio Show is brought to you by our amazing sponsors at Miller Lite. If you're drinking beer in the Philadelphia area or anywhere, and if you are an Eagles fan, you are drinking Miller Lite. Bucks County Baseball Company, our good friend J.P. Lutz up in the Northeast. His showroom is huge. His website is even bigger, BucksCountyBaseballCO.com. Check out everything from new gear, vintage gear, some of the coolest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, he was putting up some stuff this week that I hadn't seen before. This awesome Eagles Kelly Green, like polo thingy.
It's crazy how much shit that he has.
Yeah,
he pulls it out.
He's got network all over the country. He gets stuff. It's original stuff. He's got some new stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's the stuff from the 90s, 80s.
It's the stuff that Franklin we used
Field
to wear that is now back in style.
That's right.
From 40 years ago.
But he's got the original stuff.
Yeah. Our good friend Mike McVay over at David Dodge Chrysler Jeep. Mr. Hollis Thomas was over at David Dodge Chrysler Jeep this week.
You know it.
And you haven't had to go there in a while because you just got your car serviced.
Yeah,
Jeep serviced.
We're all good.
We're all good.
Our good friends Kenny Hutchings and Pat Pavlicek and all the Cavanaugh's restaurants. River Deck, which is open right now on the waterfront. Head House right off of 2nd and South. Rittenhouse between 18th and 19th on Sansom Street. Check out our good friend Paul working the basement bar there. And, of course, Brian Pavlicek up at 39th and Sansom. University City Cavanaugh's, where all the Drexel degenerates used to go, a.k.a. Diaz and myself. And, of course, our Northern Liberties Corner Bar, Delilah's, and all of the beautiful women there. We might not go there tonight. I don't know.
Maybe. you can't break your streak, Q.
Who knows? Okay. And, of course, in Manioc, our 20-year sponsors and supporters at Bourbon Blue down at the bottom of the hill, number 2 Rector Street. At the top of the hill, the Bayou and Cactus. Our good friends Joe Abruzzo, Tony Caselli, and Joe Jouette over there. And, of course, their love child, the Manioc Sport and Social Club, the most social of intramural sports leagues within the city. Of course, as well, our good friend Ken Davies and all the City Fitness Philadelphia locations. That son of a bitch shot a 37 on Tuesday on the front nine at Riverwinds and blew up and hit a shot of 44 on the back. It was beautiful. He knocked 3 birdies. It was fun watching someone play that well. I shot a 41 on the front.
What'd you do on the back?
61.
I was wiping my ass on the back, unfortunately. But, and, of course, our good friend Jahari Evans and Somo Sophie in South Philadelphia. Hollis,
yes,
big
sir.
Dog. I'm gonna go first today.
Okay.
Because what I have and what happened today in history was actually 2 days ago.
Okay.
I know you rewrote yours.
Yes.
But I'm just gonna go what we would have talked about on Wednesday had I had enough energy to do a show and we had our full cast of characters. In 1885, one of the only good things that has ever come from France, the Statue of Liberty. Arrived. In New York City, in the harbor. In 1963, Soviet cosmonaut Valentina Tereshkova became the first woman in outer space.
Wow. How long have you been practicing that pronunciation?
I'm Russian, you dickhead. Yeah. Who was born in 1978? Dirk Nowitzki, which, if you're a basketball fan, you have to love Dirk.
Yeah. An all-time a first ballot Hall of Famer, greatest international player of all time, probably.
Seven-footer who drains the three.
Yeah. Not afraid.
What is he, a top five scorer of all time, too, I think.
About that, yeah.
Yeah. In unfortunate history, in 2010, the guy we used to use to get the football out of the sewer, Manute Bol, passed away.
Yeah, we'll talk a little Manute Bol and Bol Bol.
And Bol Bol.
He fell farther than anyone in the NBA draft.
Right? And in Philly's history, actually on Tuesday of this week, the Phillies traded Juan Samuel to the New York Mets for one Lenny Nails Dykstra. Who knew that? What that ride was going to consist of?
Who knew that was going to turn out?
Well, that was Skinny Lenny.
But Lenny jacked up.
Yeah,
you got to remember it. He jacked up. What? He put on 40 pounds.
It was 25 to 30 pounds of pure unadulterated muscle.
Yeah. Well, he went from smacking 6 or 7 home runs a year to smacking 30 out of the leadoff position.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you got. Big dog,
I got you.
You're
today
up.
Today is June the 21st. It's the 172nd day of the year. There's 193 days left. We're going to start off in 1893 when the very first Ferris wheel was unveiled in Chicago at Columbian Expo.
Okay.
We go to 1939.
At a Columbian Lesbo.
At a Columbian Expo.
Oh, okay. Got it.
In 1939.
I thought we were talking about Megan Rapinoe again.
You go to 1939 when the New York Yankees, they announced Lou Gehrig was retiring because he had Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yep.
Then in 1964, Phillies, Jim Bunning.
Pitched a no-hitter on both ends of American National Leagues.
Well,
Father's Day.
Pitched a perfect game.
Oh, it was a perfect game.
Yeah, of a same game of a doubleheader. It's the least amount of hits that any team has ever garnered in a doubleheader. The Mets only had 3 hits.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, sounds like the Phillies.
1998, Bobby Brown released Don't Be Cruel.
Ooh,
Don't Be Cruel.
One of my favorite videos of all time is Wayne Brady's Every Little Step video with Tyson.
I was going to say the Mike Tyson. But yeah, I guess the birthdays here real quick. We have Derek Coleman, 1967.
Derek Coleman.
Pete Rock from Pete Rock and CL Smooth, 1970. Juliet Lewis, 1973. Chris Pratt, the actor.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, 1979.
Who's Juliet Lewis?
Natural Born Killers, the woman in the and she played in Old School. She was
she was in the Killers.
And Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, I mean, who's she with right now?
I don't know.
She
was the girlfriend in Old School.
I'm
trying to tell you these things.
Yeah.
Well, do you want me to be truthful or do you want
me to be truthful? You want me to tell a lie? And also, 1982, Prince Williams.
Was born?
Yeah, born in 1982, Prince Williams. I put this next particular one in there because it cracked me up. You remember the parents from Family Ties?
Who?
The parents from Family Ties.
Steve something.
Michael Gross and Meredith Baxter.
Yeah, right.
But both of their birthdays are today, 1947.
Oh.
That's what I was looking at. I was like, wait a minute. The parents were, what can we do, baby, without us? Sha-la-la-la.
Yeah.
Wow.
You don't remember the theme song? You're not a theme song guy?
Alex P. Keaton,
yeah.
Economist.
Yep. And today is National Selfie Day.
I saw that.
A little too much. I did that twice already today. Thanks.
Hollis blew that up this morning.
Surfing and surfing and skateboarding day also. Surfing and skateboarding day.
All right.
National holidays.
I'm
that's all I got for you.
I'm nervous.
You're nervous?
Wow. Surfing and skateboarding day?
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see your ass on a surf.
No.
On a surfboard.
That's what everybody says. It's a couple of things you will never see: a 300 plus pounder on a surfboard or skis.
Oh, skis would be better.
That would be funny.
That would be great.
That would be great.
That would be horrible.
I wonder what kind of boat could pull him up on a wakeboard.
Oh, God, no.
Jesus. That would take a while to pop you up, man.
Who are you telling?
Okay, around the country in sports right now, the U.S. women's soccer team, I am just happy to say once again that I hope you fucking lose.
That's terrible.
That's terrible.
That's terrible. So for someone that says that he loves the country, you know, he's just he hates the country. That's it. That's how it goes.
I think they're just pissing them off with
well,
what,
just
what
one
happened.
Person.
Oh, just the one person.
And I would, if I were her teammates, I would smack the shit out of her. Stand your ass up. First of all, if you're one of the best players on the team, sorta. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you're the most famous because you know you're an obnoxious cunt. But
oh, sorry, family friendly Friday.
It's 7:16. Unfortunately, if you are representing the United States. If you have a problem with the United States, then get off the fucking team. Sorry. And you're on the international stage.
Yeah.
You're representing the United States on the international stage, and you are kneeling during the national anthem.
Yeah, that's bad.
Fuck you.
I mean, we don't need to go into this debate, and I don't really care one way or the other. It's the same thing like the guys did in Mexico City in 1968. That's what she's doing here. It's not that she doesn't love the country. It's that she wants to bring attention to what she thinks is going wrong in the country. We can disagree with her and say there isn't anything wrong with the country, but that's not how she feels.
She's an attention whore.
I don't know.
I think what happens is the whole point is kneeling during the anthem. I don't think it's disrespectful to the anthem or the country. I think what it looks is because everyone's standing and there's one person kneeling, so people say, "Why is she kneeling?"
Right.
And then it gets into the discussion that she's looking to start. So we could disagree whether that's necessary or not, but
hey, you know what?
She doesn't hate the country.
We should create a nonprofit.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You try and get that charter written up, Quimby.
A nonprofit for everybody that hates the country, and I'd be more than happy to pay for you to live abroad for a year somewhere. And then you come back with a whole new perspective.
A whole new outlook on life.
A whole new outlook on everything.
Like Bob at Insight.
And in international sports. I'm sorry. I do like Riggle. And Curry, but holy moly, looks completely fucking stupid. Have you seen the ads for this?
I saw the ads for it. I didn't really want to see it because it actually looks stupid.
It looks stupid, but that's what they do in the summer. Unfortunately, I turned on my TV the other day and it was the Elizabeth Banks show.
Oh God!
Whatever, it's some new show. They don't want to pay actors, they don't want to pay scriptwriters, so they do these dumb game shows in the summer.
Yeah, not only the game shows, they also do a lot of reality TV.
Yeah, reality stuff.
No, I got you. Changing gears, going to our four sports teams. Everybody,
cool.
we're gonna get to the Flyers right now, and it's not gonna be a quick screw you Flyers. I'm going home.
Oh,
but it is gonna be making fun of them once again.
You talking about the trade?
We're gonna get into it.
Okay.
And then of course Diaz and Hollis are gonna talk NBA. We're going to talk to the Anthony Davis trade. We're going to talk the draft. You guys are going to talk. I'm going to sit back and have a shot.
Okay.
Because I didn't really.
So that's the segment you guys all want to stick around for. So Quimby's not talking, and it'll be just Hollis and Diaz. You might enjoy yourself.
Yep. So anyway, what have the Philadelphia Flyers management done to make their fans happy? Well, today, earlier this week, they more than likely set this team back even further. All right. First of all, you trade for defenseman Justin Braun from the Sharks. And the Sharks were absolutely outscored while this guy was on the ice.
Horrible.
Yeah. You're looking for a bounce-back year from a 32-year-old defenseman. Now, 32, we know in hockey, is not as old as other sports.
Right.
But, I mean, what's with the risks of, looking for a bounce-back defenseman? and was a second, and that's my question to you guys, mm-hmm. was a second and third round pick
worth it?
Worth a declining defenseman? Clearly, a declining defenseman.
Minus 14 last year.
Yeah. Minus 14. I don't think it was worth it anyway. I think you could have did better just by either using what we got and trying to get some help elsewhere.
And in hockey, you know, your second and third and fourth round picks they turn out to be players.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is you're giving up the future of the team to duct tape something that's taking place right now.
Right.
You know, just keep wrapping that fucking broken whatever, you know, with Gorilla Glue. But eventually it's still going to fall apart.
Well, but yeah, because basically I still think that they need to go outside of the realm, because this is one of those inside thinking type things where it's nobody. It's kind of like when you have a roommate. We have roommate. If you live by yourself, you find yourself doing some of the dumbest shit known to man. But right. When you have roommate, some of you are like, dude, what the fuck are you doing?
They call you out on shit.
Yeah, they call you out on shit. They need somebody to actually call them out, and it fucking means something. Because it's like that. They continually make bad moves and stuff, and it's just like they just keep going from within. I was like, apparently within is slightly toxic.
With the Flyers, they're obviously – my fourth team out of four. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
They're my fifth team behind the Union.
Well, what I think with them is they've been able to fly because, you know, man, the 70s were great. I wasn't even alive.
Yeah.
But, you know, they won those cups, and then they were always kind of like in the mix throughout the 80s.
But that wasn't hockey.
No, I understand. It's a lot of fighting. And
they
and
beat
shit.
Up their way to a Stanley Cup final.
But that's because the Blues made them.
Well, that's true. They got beat up by the Blues back in 1970. Yeah, because like
in the 60s, the Blues went, I want to say 67, 68, 69, and they got swept, but they beat the Flyers on the way.
The thing with them, though, is they've gotten this free pass. My thing with the Flyers is I don't want them to lose, but they get this free pass where, like, oh, you know, we'll get into the Sixers, we're definitely getting the Phillies, mm-hmm. and the Eagles never get a free pass. Those teams never get a pass where, I don't know, we'll see. But the Flyers are always like, yeah, fired up, we're fired up. And it's like, I don't want them to take a step back, but they never seem to make – you take one step back to take three steps forward. And I don't
all
know what this,
Abdul in the house. Yeah,
but it's almost like, listen, it's like it's not trying to lose. Mm-hmm. It's just that they're always kind of making these half-measure moves.
Right. It's basically as a fan, if I'm on being a fan, I don't feel like they're all in. They're not making the moves to convince me that they're even going after the playoffs, basically.
From what I hear about the people that know things is that, yeah, the Flyers minors are stocked. We're stocked. It's like we're stocked. Mm-hmm. We're stocked with all these. We've got great defensemen. Well, what do we need a 32-year-old defenseman giving up a second or third round pick? Like, when are those guys going to come in? And what happens is,
all while mm-hmm. the team wanted to prematurely bring up this goalie
right.
last year, and in complete polar opposite of what Hextall wanted to do.
Right. And now he played well, and he had some games that are bad, but that's what happens with young guys, and that's kind of, you know, of course I'm going to always go back to the Sixers, but I'll even go back to Wentz. When Wentz was drafted, I was like, he's got to play this year because the first year he plays, maybe the first two, aren't going to be particularly good.
Right.
You know this. Well, you're a pro athlete.
Well, yeah,
you got to get it out of your system.
Well, because especially as a quarterback. The quarterback and receivers and offensive linemen, those are like the hardest positions to learn and garner, because you got to move with continuity with the rest of the team. When you play defense and the secondary, because you got to know the coverage, but when you play like defensive line, you pretty much just put your
head. That's right. Yeah, you're going into it.
Yeah, you're going into if you get drafted in the first round, you're going. Sometimes do the second round. You're going into it right now. And if all they tell you is all you got to do is you got to defeat the blocker and make a play. The other positions, like you need some time to fuck up. And when I say fuck up, that's what they call playing experience. So you know what you can and can't do.
The next point, if we move on to our next point here in the Flyers, is Kevin Hayes, 7-year. $50 million. I haven't heard.
Here's the other one. Okay, here's a guy. Oh my God, the big offseason move the Flyers are making to get to the Stanley Cup Finals is another declining second line center,
mm-hmm.
and they were immediately happy to put a seven-year, $7 million a year deal on the table. This guy has never scored more than 60 points in a season. Mm-hmm. He had 55 in 71 games last year.
He knows the coach.
Yeah, that's great. Okay,
great. I'm just saying.
All right, Vignone. However the fuck you say his last name.
Put it this way: it's the same. It's the same rapping when Andy Reid got here and he brought Doug Peterson here and told us he was going to be the starter. We was like, brr. What the hell is he done? It's pretty much the same thing. He went and got one of his boys to convey his message around the team.
These guys, I trust the people that I see on Twitter that know it inside out. I know the people that I listen to that talk about it, and no one seems particularly thrilled with the moves. Which listen, we're a fan show right here. I'm not an expert on the Flyers. I just see trends.
Yeah,
and everyone wants them to do well, and it's like they're just kind of staying on that wheel of mediocrity. And I'd rather blow it up.
I'd rather jump off.
Jump off and wait and be patient, or. Or go all in, or just let's get these young guys up. Like, what's going on? Now we're waiting till 2022. I don't know. I mean, I really feel, and it's true, it actually happened this year in hockey as well, is the idea that, first off, the regular season doesn't matter because anything can happen in the playoffs.
Correct.
And some people love that. Mm-hmm. And when it's rare, it's great. I got in an argument with our boy Flynn down there in Louisiana about NBA where – you know, this is ridiculous, the first round. You know, all the top seeds are winning, and that's kind of how it's set up to be. Mm-hmm. And when lower seeds win, like the Eagles in Chicago this year, mm-hmm. that's great. That makes it exciting. But, you know, that 2010 run where they qualified for the playoffs in the last game of the year in a shootout against the Rangers.
And then they had to come back from down 4-0 or 3-0 against Boston. Yeah, to keep that series going.
Right, great. Awesome, memorable run. Yeah. Great. But then that guy.
All with Leighton as your netminder. It gives up the softest goal in hockey history.
We were like, is that in? That didn't go in.
Yeah.
But that run there, I think it kind of cemented into some, you know, or I'm going to say the orange and black faithful as a whole, that anything can happen. And, you know, we're really not that far away. And now we're going on year 10 of being of that series. It's, listen, we're not that bad, and we're not that good, and we're just on that wheel of mediocrity. It's ridiculous.
Hey, look, honestly, I'm with you on everything that you're saying. I'm also going to say at the same time that if you're on the wheel of mediocrity in hockey and you're not making the playoffs, then you suck.
Yeah.
Right.
So many teams make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the teams that don't are just painfully bad on a regular basis.
Abysmal.
This team has had its excellent years.
Yeah.
And it's years where, you know, man, they just put the right people on the ice.
Right.
Now, for whatever reason, we never won a cup in the Lindros era, which to this day just absolutely shocks me.
Right.
But Detroit was just a mogul back then. As much as you were going to get through your own conference, mm-hmm. you're eventually going to face them, and you're going down. And, of course, Rod Brindamore was the only one that showed up in that entire series. I think he had two goals in the first game or two goals in the second game, but that were the only goals they scored, like maybe two or three others in the whole goddamn series.
Well, and that was 22 years ago.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the kids that were born the following year are drinking with us now.
Right.
You know, like, that's a long time ago. It was a great run.
But you're right. Spectacor has to sell a team. They really do. That's the biggest and most disgusting swamp there is. Talk about drain the swamp. Man, that's the one that has to go.
Yeah.
It really is. This, you know, when are you going to trade for a new president? All right, because Holmgren's not your guy.
No.
Sorry. Sorry, Paul. Sorry, Paul. Yeah. Paul, I'm sorry. We got to talk.
It's
when are you going to take the C off of Giroux's jersey? Because right now, all it stands for is cunt.
Wow.
Giroux getting
the hard C.
He's horrible.
He has been sticking up a joint. He hasn't been a true captain.
He's not. He's one of the... Hey, I'm getting paid.
I don't get, even when I talk with fans, that, you know, I call him a fraudulose. But but yeah, he scores a lot. He does. He's not a bad player. He's good. And is he captain worthy? I'm not in the place to debate that. But yeah, it's just like, he doesn't fit our timeline. So why don't you trade him for a bunch of stuff that does? And, you know, we're not going to win the cup next year. Maybe we win it in 2 years or three or four. I don't know, but it's not going to be in the next two. It's just not going to be. So let's plan to maximize 3 years down the road. Now, some people interpret that as, let's lose now, Hollis. Let's lose. No, I don't want to lose, but we're not going to win it all.
Yeah.
Let's try and make those years where everyone matures at the same time.
Exactly. You basically saying, just let the young guys come up now, let them get their lumps and learn how to win together. Because basically all we're doing now is we're just pissing in the wind.
Just floating around.
Just pissing in the wind.
And the move with Fire and Hextall was a built-in excuse for another rebuild.
Yeah.
Or it's, hey, Hextall, you're taking too long holding these guys down.
Right.
We're ready to throw them up here.
Look at their signings.
I know. Good God.
Yeah. This doesn't do anything with it.
The complete antithesis of that notion.
Yeah, but basically the coach signing, and first of all, you let somebody else go and take the coach. They ain't still there. When it took the coach, you actually wanted, and then you say that you really went after him, when everybody knows you were, and then you sign somebody who everybody's like, who?
Yeah.
Who?
We want you to be good. Playoff hockey is awesome. I'm an NBA fan, and NBA playoffs are fucking great. They're great down there. But, you know, if you ever get a chance to go to a Flyers playoff game, man, it's rocking in there. It's like a concert. It's awesome.
No, you know what? It's annoying.
Well,
it's a bunch of brainwashed idiots that don't give that team a hall pass.
Well, there's a lot of...
And then when they make it to the playoffs and they win one game or a series, then it's, hold her back, hold her back.
Well, the good news is that there's good news and bad news with that, the next playoff series. The good news is there's plenty of tickets available. The bad news are they cost 30% more.
Yeah, they're 30% more now.
I know. You still got it, baby.
You guys want to jump into basketball right now, or you want to take a quick break?
Let's take a quick break.
All right, everybody. I think I got this queued up. No pun. We'll be back with the Green Legion Radio Show right after this. All right. The Green Legion Radio Show likes the way you work it. No diggity, baby. We're back on the air. I'm sorry. That was all
no
I had. I'm really hungover today, guys. I'm sorry. That explosion in the refinery woke my ass up last night, and I never went back to sleep. Yeah. That was fucking crazy. I could see the whole thing from here, and there were two explosions.
Chernobyl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Damn.
It was brutal. All right, boys, we're going to talk some basketball, which means you guys are going to talk, and I'm just going to sit here and play with myself.
Nice.
Conversation we had in the green room during break.
Yeah.
Some people want to give Toronto some props here. I don't.
So the tying run is at second. The run that would win the World Series is at first, and Joe Carter is the batter. Now the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and gone! Joe Carter with a three-run homer. The winners and still world champions, the Toronto Blue Jays.
One out of nine. 6-5 Philadelphia.
Well, if you have to hear it from another.
Castillo throwing in case of extra inning. Fastball is hit to left field, down the line, in the corner, home run.
Is that
okay?
Was that Vin Scully?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To all you guys in Toronto, in all fairness, you can suck a dick.
How do you really feel?
Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Anyway, did the NBA ruin the celebration with that foul call with 0.7 seconds left?
A bit.
It was in Golden State, so it wouldn't have been that big.
You know what? It kind of ruined it a little bit, because even the GM for for Toronto. He couldn't. Yeah. He couldn't get on the court because of that.
Right.
Yeah. And so the sheriff they got into a bit of a pissing contest because the sheriff was holding him off the court. And to me, if he'd had his credential on hanging on his neck instead of in his hand, I think he might have got. I think he might have got back.
Yeah.
But it was kind of jacked up though.
It's kind. There's two ways. Man, I'm the biggest flip flopper, aren't I? There's two sides. The first side is it did ruin it because
you're kind of a liberal.
Yeah. Well, no, I just look at things with a little bit of nuance. It's not everything is black and white.
While you lean to the left.
Yeah. So the first thing is I saw it's in my memory that it's been proven that if there's less than 0.7 seconds on the clock, it's impossible to get a shot off, even a tip in or something like that.
Harper's leading off.
He let off yesterday. Look at you, Quimby. Quimby's been asleep for 2 days.
Yeah.
Well, there was no watching any games last night. Hollis and I were knee deep.
Yep.
Well, that's the first thing. That's the first. The other thing is, you know, the refs, you know, they get a lot of shit, the last couple of years in the NBA, especially.
Right.
If there was a foul, there was a foul. But also, it's almost the NBA is almost kind of like soccer, where it's up to the discretion of the ref.
Why are you even calling that?
Yeah,
foul?
Just let it go.
Let it go.
You know. But then again, if there was, you know, there was no way. But they don't know how much time's left in the clock. They don't know if there's 2.1.
The ref does.
No, they're not looking at the clock. They're watching the play. They don't know if there's 2.1 left or 3.5 or 0.7. They imagine if there was 3 seconds left and they don't call the foul, right?
Right.
And then Golden State ties the game.
Right.
You know, like, so it's like, it is what it is, you know. I don't know. I don't think it ruined the celebration, to answer your question.
It didn't totally ruin it because they were away anyway. The thing I didn't like was now y'all want to be right. Now the refs want to be by the book. The whole time y'all fucking up every game. Did you see? Speaking of messing up every game, I don't know if you saw the way Manny Machado got the one game suspension.
Oh yeah,
no, I didn't see it.
The umpires. And then the umpires put out.
Did he smack him?
No, he didn't smack him. He just the umpire kind of like bumped into him because so it was a one game suspension for contact of the umpire. But if you look at it, the umpire kind of bumped into him. But if you go back and you look at the umpire's calls, they were atrocious. But then the umps, when they said the one game suspension, they was like it was a slap in the face. The umpires union tweeted this out. I was like, first of all, nobody gets to fucking talk about y'all anyway. It's like we don't get to really tell y'all that y'all don't do good at y'all job.
Yeah.
And to put out that type of I'll call it gasoline on the fire. This one. So now you want to talk, we could actually critique all your games. So I mean, but when you look at it, something it seems like officiating always gets in the way of victories.
It does, and we'll touch on this in the NFL, this new pass interference rule, which is ridiculous.
Wait, what are you talking about?
We're in the NBA right now. We'll get to the listeners will have to just wait for the next break and when we get into the NFL. But yeah. You know, it just shows you how close and far away, you know, this whole NBA is going to be completely different next year. Mm-hmm. You know, we were close to beating the Raptors. I would say this, Kevin Durant. No, okay. We're not like secondary champs or any of that stupid shit. Sure. But to be fair, we gave them the best run. We gave them the best challenge out of the series. Golden State did not have Kevin Durant.
Yeah, they didn't have Kevin Durant. They didn't have Klay Thompson.
What do you think about Kevin Durant coming back next year and what he's going to look
he's
like?
He's not coming back next year.
It won't be.
It's his Achilles.
If he comes back, it'll be in the playoffs.
It's that long.
You have to take your time with that because we did, as you know, we didn't take our time with it with the big piece, mm-hmm. and it actually brings into question other ligaments and stuff.
Right.
Like the big piece is knee start messing up because of the way he's twerking. Well, I'm thinking that if Kevin Durant comes back, he'll probably mess up his knee from jumping around and trying to get his jump shot back.
Right.
So it's a long drawn. That's like one of the longest drawn out processes ever. Between that and the ACL.
Okay, I like this.
The NBA is.
Is Segura playing?
I think he's playing today.
She got Harper leading off.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So what we're doing is we're interrupting the NBA talk with.
Well, you got Hoskins.
Current Phillies.
You have Hoskins batting third and Jay Bruce batting cleanup.
which I like. But who's batting second? I'm pulling
up the lineup here. He's going to pull up
the lineup. Carey's batting second.
Okay.
So wow,
Harper, Hoskins, Bruce, Real, Muto, Segura. Hoskins is batting second.
Segura's batting sixth.
Yeah. Segura's batting fifth. Kingery's sixth. Hernandez.
No, Kingery's on base. Kingery's on. Oh, no.
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, what is it? Harper? Harper,
Harper, Hoskins, Bruce, Real, Muto, Segura, Kingery, Cesar.
Now, what? See, what?
We'll get into that later.
We'll get into that later.
Let's hit this NBA thing.
Now, the pick.
There's two. Well, before we get to the pick, there's a couple things here because this and how it relates to our local team. You know, one thing that people try to throw back at me since I'm a TTPer is that this is the first champion that had zero lottery picks on their team. They didn't have anyone that was picked in the top 14 in their draft, and that's great. Good for them. Great. First off, it proves that you can find valuable players in the second round. It's rare. It's not easy, but there are second-round picks. Wow. Do turn out to be quality players, a la Draymond Green, and for the Raptors, Norman Powell, yeah. And Danny Green.
It's a lot of quality. I think the thing I be talking about the TTP years. I just didn't want to lose. I didn't like the way he was doing it. I understand.
Absolutely, I get it. Especially as a pro player, alumni, I would assume that you would feel that way because it's you're treated like an accounting balance.
Well, no, yeah, but what I'm saying is, even if you're doing that, you have to build a nucleus that's going to be here. We didn't have anything. Nobody knew anybody on the team. You didn't bring anybody of substance here to do anything. And when you build a team, you build it around somebody, around a person or people. And that's the only thing that we was missing. Because the fans, we didn't have nobody. We didn't have nobody to grab.
So. Right. And well,
yeah, it was a coach.
How it looks though? There's two things that you look at through that. It's like, okay, well, why don't we? Well, there's no one way to build a team. You can build it this way. You can build it around this kind of player. You can build it around this kind of player. But you build it around some core player. Now, Toronto was a 60-win team last year. They won 59 games. They were first seed in the East.
Right.
The East is weak. They still won 59 games, and then they ran into LeBron. They replaced their one All-Star with a better All-Star in the Kawhi and DeRozan swap.
Right.
But then you look at Golden State, and the problem with Golden State is similar to what we have or had, we'll see how it turns out, is it was very, very top-heavy, which is great in the playoffs. But if anyone gets hurt, I mean, Golden State, what they're throwing out there, you know, Sean Livingston might retire.
I think he is.
These guys,
he's complete garbage at this point.
Right. I mean,
ow!
Have to take a break. If we have the camera, God damn it, we should have the camera here. Watch Quimby fumble around on his hands and knees picking up.
I'm not picking up shit.
But anyway, so that's what happens when you're all top heavy. So there's some people want
to. Hey, just so you know. Some people like top heavy.
Yeah, but when you're top heavy, that means the bottom's got nothing.
You're structurally unsound.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's a great point of putting it structurally unsound. So.
I think you do have to have some middle grade people and some people to spell the top heavy people. And I think that's where Toronto had everybody beat because they had guys who were coming off the bench that were really good.
And they had, I mean, the Gasol trade. Well, he. Some people did.
Siaka, he came on this year. He's like one of the most improved players. He started to get it.
That's right. And it's his, third or fourth year?
Yeah, third or fourth year, yeah.
I mean, it takes time. So, and he was the 27th pick in the draft.
Right.
Whatever it was, 2016, 2015 or something like that. All props to them. But you see what happens, what happened with those injuries with Golden State that everyone's like, oh, Kevin Durant is not playing next year. So there's a conundrum with Golden State.
Right.
Clay will come back, I guess, at some point in ACL.
He'll come back probably.
Maybe like February, March.
Like January, February.
But if Golden State wants to go into like the triple repeater tax, which they have plenty of money to do it, but, you know, it definitely cuts into profits, and sign those two guys again, you know, they're going to have a long road next year.
Right.
Right? And
I think they sign one and then – try to get another star in there.
Right, and the same thing would happen with LeBron and AD. We'll get into the Anthony Davis trade. Right. Like, wow, great. Lakers got Anthony Davis. Awesome. They have three players under contract. I know. Yeah. Now, we're not that much better. I think we got like five.
We got five. But at least we got a team to put on the floor.
And those guys are great. First off, Anthony Davis, you're a bitch.
Yeah, thank you.
My man Embiid owns you. He owns you. I hope we play the lake. We play old man LeBron in the finals next year. Anthony Davis, Embiid owns you.
So we going to be in the finals next year?
I'm not saying that. We'll see how it goes. But for the first time in a while, in what, over a decade,
right?
You know, there's no LeBron Heat. There's no LeBron Cavs. There's no Golden State Warriors. Or it's kind of jumbled up. We'll see how it all, you know, how it all falls down. But I don't want to say it's wide open, but it's as wide open as it's been for a while.
Yeah, ever since it's been as wide open as it was when Jordan retired.
Yeah, something like that. Then we had Timmy the Spurs coming in. Lakers. We had the Lakers run.
Well, now remember the Rockets had went back.
Oh, 94, 95. Yeah. Okay, I thought you meant the second time. Yeah, Jordan retired for two years. First time, yeah, because he retired because he was spending too much time in Atlantic City.
Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's not happy down there. They're not.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that there's a whole.
There's a whole bunch.
Well, who can we trade Ben Simmons for?
I don't know. I don't think. You know what? I don't think
Ben's got to go.
I don't think this is gonna happen.
Ben's got to go.
He's not. He doesn't have to go.
He's got
to
go.
He doesn't have to go.
He's got
to
go.
Is his brother gonna teach him how to shoot again?
Yeah,
we'll see. Do I have to give you a lesson? I thought you weren't going to
Hold on a second. Hollis, do you need a lesson from Diaz?
No.
Hold on a second. Shut up.
No, I don't need
You don't need a lesson from Diaz?
No, I'm good.
Do you think Ben Simmons needs to go?
Pretty much.
Thanks.
Why does he need to go?
Because it's a point guard that can't shoot. He's a 6'10" point guard that can't shoot.
But he can't do anything else. He's not good on defense.
He's not very good on defense. He doesn't give you the points that position needs. It's kind of like having a stud first baseman in baseball. or a stud third baseman. You got to get run production out of that position.
Exactly. And then
talk about your 2-point guards in Toronto.
Yeah.
And how many points per game they put up?
A whole bunch.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
And you're not always going to be able to drive the fucking net.
Yeah.
The only thing he can do.
This is the thing then, okay? This is the thing. You are not going to get equal value for Ben Simmons.
Good.
You're not.
You need to get rid of him.
Time out. You're a Jimmy Butler guy, right?
I'm a Jimmy Butler guy.
Do you think they should re-sign Jimmy Butler?
100%.
They will not win trading Ben Simmons. You're going to get a quarter on the dollar.
Okay, hold on a second.
Let me tell you why.
Hold on a second. You're right. I'm not. I completely agree with you. I think they should just get rid of him.
Just cut him.
Bye.
His salary is guaranteed.
No, I get it. It's a rookie salary.
That's right. So when you trade him...
Guess what?
When you trade
whatever gets him off the squad.
Well, let me tell you how this works, Quimby. In the NBA, the salaries
have to
match
80%. For an equal match, I
80%.
Know.
So what it's going to be is a bunch of draft picks that aren't going to be helping your team win right now.
Neither is Ben Simmons.
And you can... Ben Simmons has had the best start in what since Dr. J came to the team.
Okay, all right.
Since Ben Simmons, who's your two? Well, I don't know right now. We'll see.
Because your two has to be able to shoot.
We don't know if it's Redick. We don't know if it's Bogdanovich.
Okay. Well, Redick.
He can't.
No
defense.
Hold up.
Redick,
for a second.
Redick needs to go too.
He's a free agent. He might just walk.
Yeah. All right. I hope so.
This is what happens, okay? When we push the chips in, all right? When we push the chips in, it has to
Your process right now got you Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, and Joel Embiid.
And Ben Simmons.
I'm sorry. I do not see Ben Simmons as part of your long-term plan.
Okay. You don't, but I would say I see Ben Simmons as a part of the long-term plan more so than Jimmy Butler. And this is why.
I don't know.
This is why. Because Jimmy Butler,
Shoot.
Hold up.
Can play defense?
Yes, he can.
Can drive the net?
Yes.
Can disperse the ball?
Yes.
Okay. Does he have all the qualities? Does Ben Simmons have all those qualities?
He has all those qualities.
No, he doesn't. Can't shoot.
Okay. Hold up for a second. I don't want to go over and over and over and over and over and over again why he can't shoot or that he can't shoot.
Okay.
All right. And I don't even know that. It's that he doesn't. It's like Markelle Fultz. He doesn't.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I'm gonna stop you right now. Okay. He can't shoot because he can't figure out which arm he's supposed to use. Now, if you're gonna drive the net and that's the better part of your game, all right. What did Iverson do?
He drove to the net
and
he scored a lot.
And
he was an MVP.
Keep going, dickwad. Reverse.
He was the first. First.
No. What did he do when he drove the net?
He laid it up.
He got fouled. What did he do at the free throw line? He made his fucking free throws.
Listen,
85%.
All right,
career.
Your point has been made. Now I'm going to talk. All right?
What's Ben Simmons?
This is what's going to
happen. What's Ben Simmons?
Let me talk.
What's Ben Simmons?
Let me talk.
60%.
Let me talk. If you want to get rid of Ben Simmons, what you're going to get rid of him for is this. This is what you're going to get rid of him
Starting over.
No, hold up. Let me tell you what you're going to get for him. All right. First off, you're Jimmy Butler. You have a jersey and a hat. You're the captain of the Jimmy Butler bandwagon, right? Right? Right?
Jimmy, I just think he's a great player.
I do too. He's good. But he's also 30. So he's got about like 3 or 4 years left.
I'll take 3 or 4 years
great,
and one bang.
Great. But that's not long term. That's 3 or 4 years. Okay?
You already have the best center in the league.
Hey, that's absolutely. Joel Embiid is the centerpiece. He's the MVP. He's the greatest basketball player of all time.
Tobias Harris. That's a piece of the puzzle.
I want him back. I'm not scared, but I
came over midway through the season. He never found his role.
The word on the street is that he's more interested in leaving.
Okay,
but we did just sign his brother today to play on the summer league team.
Oh god!
So they're pulling out all the stops to keep him. I want them all back. Listen. When you give up what you gave up for Butler, which isn't as bad as what you gave up for Harris, you're pushing all your chips in. This is what happens when you trade Ben Simmons because of the salaries and the contracts and all that. You're going to get a player back. You're not going to get an all-star back. You're not getting an all-star back. Let me finish. You're not getting an all-star back. You're going to get a very good player, a good quality player. And you're going to get a bunch of picks that are, hey, listen, maybe you package them for somebody, maybe, but or you use them, but they're going to be – years down the line.
Adam, Ben Simmons is part of your learn plan.
Okay. I think here's a hot take. I got a hot take for you about Ben Simmons. I think,
speaking about hot takes,
I think Ben Simmons will be on this team longer than Joel Embiid. And I love Joel Embiid. He's my favorite player. I think Ben Simmons is 22 years old, and you're giving up on a guy in his second year.
I'm not giving up
on a guy who foundationally has never been able to shoot.
I understand that, okay? I understand.
That's a problem for the point
guard. That is right, okay? It's in his second year.
It's not his second year. It's his second year in the NBA.
That's right.
It was a year sitting out. And it was another year in LSU where he couldn't shoot. And he couldn't shoot in fucking high school either.
He never had to shoot.
He didn't shoot.
He did.
Period.
Because he...
And if he was planning his attack for an NBA career, he would have stopped driving the net because he was 6'10" and practiced shooting over these runs.
Right, but you know what? You sound. I'm going to compare it to baseball. Okay. This is a guy that in high school and college or the minor leagues. Of course, there is a guy that all he did is hit home runs. All he did is hit home runs.
Okay. All Chris Carter did was catch touchdown passes.
Right.
We can keep going.
Exactly.
Wherever you want
with this. But you know what? From a second baseman, what you need is you're going to need some doubles, and we're not getting doubles from him. And I get it. Now when he gets to the pros and it's harder to hit home runs, he's not doing that as much, right? So, and that's like, well, man, he's just swinging for the fences every time. He's not getting any, you know, extra base hit or doubles, singles, you know.
That's a hell of a play right there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's a nice play. But what I'd like to do is say, give Ben Simmons another 2 years.
How about we just give him one?
Okay, you know what? I'm with Hollis because obviously he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's not going.
Okay, but if you are in your third year in the NBA and you can't shoot the ball or you refuse to shoot,
don't say refuse.
Okay, whatever it is.
Because if
you can't even work on a 10-foot jump shot, okay, if you just refuse to do it, then you are not prepared for the game. More mentally than you are physically.
That great point right there. The reason I'll say 2 years is this. Next year, we just want him to shoot, right? We want them to shoot.
All day long.
All day long.
Right. We want them to shoot.
Yeah.
Now, what will happen is, this is what will happen, and we're going to have to listen to all the idiots in town say, well, I'd rather he didn't shoot. He can't make them. And it's, oh, God. Oh,
you can't win,
Rock. Oh, my God.
No. Okay. Now, let's talk about what's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Brown is not going to tell him to go out there and shoot. He's going to go out there and say, play your game. Mm-hmm. Play your game. Play your game, Ben.
Be fair to him. We don't know. We don't know.
Come on.
We don't know.
They've been knowing each other since he was four.
Well, anyway, let's talk what's going on in the league right now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the draft.
The draft pick, the fleece.
No, let's talk about the most important thing that took place in this last week. Two. And they all revolve around one LaVar Ball.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Now listen,
Molly, way to stay professional. First of all, ESPN.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Disney. This is why nobody listens anymore. This is why your subscriber base is down by 14 million people in the last 2 years. All right. You lean towards everything left. We know. It's okay. All right, the best part about ESPN growing up is that it was unbiased.
Right.
It was not watching Sports Day or Sportsnet.
Right.
It wasn't, I'm Philadelphia, hear me roar. was an unbiased approach to everything sports worldwide, predominantly United States,
right,
but worldwide as well. You went down a different path. All right. You're supporting people like LeBron, and LeBron deserves support.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's great. All right. But not this much. All right, we're tired of you sucking his cock. All right. Did you hear the interview with
Molly Eckern or whatever?
No, Molly Karen.
Karen, yeah.
But not that one. Obviously, we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
You can change gears with me anytime, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, I didn't think there was anything wrong with that.
She said, we're switching gears, and he said, you could switch my gears anytime.
Well, okay.
Listen, if we're on the Green Legion Radio, maybe, but if we're not.
We're in a day and age where you can't respond like that. Come on.
He didn't say,
Molly, I'd like to bend you over and lick the shit out of your crack.
But everyone knows that was the intent behind it. Come on, man. Come on.
We all know it was.
Right.
We all know it was.
You can't.
I'm sorry. I can't say in an interview, oh, my God, you're beautiful. I'd like to take you out. Is that harsher? Then you can switch my gears anytime.
It's
come on.
No. Switching my gears is harsher than that. I mean, you see what happened with Joe Namath and Susie Colbert.
No, I disagree. That's entirely different.
He tried to kiss her.
He wanted to kiss her.
He's like, I want to kiss you right in the mouth right now.
He didn't suggest anything. He just merely said, oh, my God, I dig you.
You could disagree
with his way.
But that is
and
the
I don't,
way
listen,
it is.
I don't like LaVar Ball in any way, shape, or form.
You can't say that.
Yeah. But you can.
Quimby,
anybody that ever comes on the Green Legion Radio Show, you are more than welcome to switch my gears at any point in time.
Listen, I've been in studios, I've been in multiple studios here in town of mainstream radio.
If, in fact, we were on the air on WIP and there were girls that were going to be wingettes,
mm-hmm,
that comment would completely fly.
Yeah, it would.
That's probably right. It would.
But that's
don't tell me
that it can't be said there.
Those girls are being brought on for that. It's not the interviewer, mm-hmm, and she's the leader.
Has no fucking talent whatsoever.
I don't know if
she's a piece of ass.
Listen, how about this? Or you just don't say it. You don't need to say that.
Well, hold on. What it boils down to is honestly ESPN. What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah,
what did you think LaVar Ball... Did you not think LaVar Ball was going to say something fucking stupid?
You knew it.
Come on.
That's right. That's why you're putting the microphone in front of him.
Because you need ratings. Yeah, you can't.
And you know
you
what?
Wait.
And you know what? In the back room, mm-hmm, in the back of the marketing room, in fucking Bristol, Connecticut, they're going, yeah, LaVar. we're so sorry that LaVar Ball had to come on and...
Because everybody's going to go watch it.
That's it. It's fucking ridiculous. And I don't know if it's the second or the third kid.
Right.
But
LaMelo.
LaMelo.
Going on.
Who?
Australia.
I'm going to take my talents to the NBL. He said, I'm going to take my talents like fucking LeBron did when he went to Miami. I'm going to take my talents to South Beach. Okay, LeBron, first of all, you're a dumb fuck. All right. American Airlines Arena is in, well, yeah, Brickell. Sorry, 4 miles from South Beach, you dumb dick. However, I love that. I'm going to take my talents. Dad, what should I say that's going to be obnoxious on this interview? I'm going to take my talents to the NBL.
What the fuck is NBL?
National Basketball League.
In Australia.
All right, dude.
The thing
But even better in the LeVar Ball world, which is just imploding. Lonzo gets traded to the fucking Hornets.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Pelicans.
The Pelicans.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
The Pelicans. The Pelicans. Dangle Neck, you said the.
Hey, man.
Oh, my God. I'm still stuck in the New Orleans Hornets.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I would say you're stuck in 1988, but I mean, maybe.
My hair maybe might. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. The Pelicans.
Hey, great trade. Great trade.
For L.A. I don't think it's going to do anything. I think it does a hell of a lot more for the
Pelicans.
For the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Say, they're getting a shit ton of picks, aren't they?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they are.
Are they getting any protected or unprotected? What's the
crop? They got our local Villanova, Josh Hart.
Josh Hart.
They got, what's his name?
Who's Ball. That? Lonzo Ball.
They got Brandon Ingram. They got three first-round picks. And a pick swap.
Damn.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
And you think about what...
And they got Zion.
And listen, well, now, Anthony Davis always wanted to go to the Lakers, so he's going to resign. Just think about what San Antonio got for Kawhi. You know, they got an all-star,
right.
A couple other players. You know, I don't know about the picks or anything like that, but man, like they got a haul. And then what New Orleans did is they flipped their four for two more picks,
right.
8 and 17, and more second round. Like they got
their
like
stock.
Eight guys.
New Orleans TTP.
They're trusting the process. That's how you build a squad.
So here's a question that I have, and this is Kawhi winning an NBA championship in Toronto, basically stamped his ticket where he's going to re-sign?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
It's one of the things.
Because we can sign him.
Actually, he's meeting with the Sixers Monday.
Yeah, I saw that. Forget about it. We did this last year. Yeah. I don't want a fucking meeting. I don't want to waste time with it.
I know.
If we're doing a meeting with him, do a meeting now and just be like, Kawhi, you're going to get – we're offering you the max. Do you want to come? We don't need a tour. We don't need to waste time because we got our own shit going on.
Right.
The time wasted sitting down with LeBron and Kawhi, who are not coming here, is the time that you're not telling Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, we want you here.
Right.
They only can get two of those guys, and you throw another one in there. If Kawhi comes to them and says, if you offer me a max, I'll sign, you'd be like, great, here you go. And then, sorry, Tobias, or sorry, Jimmy, or sorry, someone.
That Kawhi's would be a great fuck you to Toronto.
But
would it ever be?
But Kawhi, he in San Antonio, he wanted to play for the Clippers. Everyone's known he's wanted to go for the Clippers. The year before LeBron left for L.A., everyone knows LeBron is going to the Lakers.
Okay,
everyone
knew that. Here's where you put your money where your mouth is. Do you believe that as a result of the Sixers with the current squad being a buzzer beater away from beating the NBA champions, does that give us any leverage in these talks? Hey, Kawhi, we almost beat you, and now if we have you, we run over the league.
No. This is why, and I got in a fight with someone about this the other day, is that if Kawhi was on the Sixers this year, we would have won the title. Maybe. Maybe. Oh, no, they said if Kawhi was on this team, we would have won the title. I'm like, well, Kawhi wouldn't have been on this team because we would have had to give up Joel Embiid. So this is a different team. So the team that we put out there is a different team than Kawhi would have been on.
Right.
Plus, also, to answer Quimby's thing about if Kawhi saw how close we were, Mike Scott is a – I'm going to go over guys that aren't that meaningful, but J.J.
I like Mike Scott.
I like him. Yeah. I like him too. But Jimmy Butler right now, not on this team.
Right.
Harris not on this team. Reddick not on this team. Right. James Ennis not on this team. Mike Scott not on this team. TJ's not on this team. Like this is our team is blank slate right now. We've got Embiid. We've got Simmons. We've got Zaire. We have our guy we picked up yesterday. The two guys we picked up yesterday. We have Bolden. We have Shake Milton. That's our team right now. Right. So now, listen. You put Kawhi on that team. Shit, man. Yeah, like we are the darlings of the East. It's going to be Sixers versus Lakers in the finals. That's what we're talking about. But but I don't want to waste time. Man. I don't think he's coming here. It'd be great to have him, but fucked us up.
I think the LeBron meeting fucked us up because we flew out there to see him, to L.A. It's one of those things where I would love to meet with him to see where his head's at. But, you know, I'm not putting all my bread in that one basket.
The thing happens, though, is especially with Butler, and, I'm also kind of thinking with Harris, I don't know these people. You're closer than to these guys than I am, and don't know either of these dudes, but you're in the world more so than me. But just as a player, let me tell you.
Also, it's a lot of interesting free agents out there. Harrison Barnes.
Oh, yeah.
They have the Al Horford.
Al Horford? Yeah, God, if we got him, Jesus.
That's what I'm saying.
Fuck you to Boston.
I know it's a lot of interesting people out there, so we still have to meet with Kawhi, but I think we still need to go after those other people that we want.
Well, this is the delicate balance that I'd be kind of worried about. Butler is a volatile person. I don't want to say volatile personality, but he's personality issues, and I think a lot of that comes because he came from down low, up high, and through hard work, and when he sees people that aren't working as hard as he is, he gets a little upset.
You see people dogging it.
Yeah, right. The thing
hey,
is,
guys, do you want to go completely remote during the Second Street Festival this year?
Second Street Festival.
It can only be the three of us.
When is it?
August 4th.
I think I'll be in Italy, not getting laid.
wait, that's your honeymoon's lasting that long?
We're not leaving till August. We're going for like 2 weeks in August, which we'll talk about later.
Maybe we'll bring Rob in for that one. But I can put the whole show in my backpack.
Yeah.
Well, that would be hilarious. Quickly sweating it out in August on Second Street.
Oh, don't even bother bringing the towel. Just sweat it out, baby.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay. Back to what we're talking about, Sixers. This is what I'm saying. If we take the meeting with Kawhi, right?
Right.
Right now, you're telling Jimmy Butler's agent, you're telling Tobias Harris, we're going to offer you the max. Mm-hmm. You're getting the max from us. We want you back. That's all they really need to do. They know the facilities. They know the people. They know the other players that they know, all that. They've been here, which is a positive for us. We've got that thing. You take a meeting with Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
Butler's going, well, does that mean I'm out? I thought you were going to offer. Because technically they can't offer the max.
Right.
Even if Butler says on July 1st, I'm taking the max, it's not official till July 6th.
Correct.
This happened with DeAndre Jordan a couple of years ago where he was going to Dallas. And then they got convinced not to go. So, you know, you take that meeting with Kawhi, one of those two guys, if not both, are like, well, what does that mean for me?
Exactly.
Where's my max? Because they can only get two of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you throw Kawhi in there who has no indication he wants to be here.
Right.
It's the Clippers, the Clippers, the Clippers, the Clippers. The Clippers are preparing to have him come in.
Right.
Man, like, I don't know. I know.
And now I see what you're saying now.
Because now, Kawhi's like, oh, you guys are good. You know what? Maybe I'll take a one-on-one with the Clippers and see how you guys do this year. Maybe I'll come back. But, sorry, I really want to play in my hometown. So he leaves. And then Harris is like, I thought you were – all Harris keeps talking about is – I want someone that commits to me. I've been traded all around. I want to be committed. I want someone to commit to me. So if you offer him that's right. That's what he keeps saying. Because I've been traded four times. I want a commitment. So I think you take that meeting with Kawhi. You can say goodbye to at least one of them, if not both, because feelings get
hurt.
I don't.
Everyone's sensitive these days, Quimby.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully, I'm not. You know what? Let's take a quick break here because we do have Phillies and Eagles to get to, and we are an hour and 13 minutes into the show already, which is long for us, but we did have a lot to go over. Look, we'll be on Green Legion. We'll be back on Green Legion Radio right after this song. All right, we're back on Green Legion Radio for our final segment of the evening. We appreciate you guys hanging with us as long as you have. I know we're a little bit further along than we had expected, but put Diaz and Hollis in a room together and start talking about the NBA, and all of a sudden, and this is without Pops.
I know.
Here, which, you know, it would be our 2.5 hour Green Legion Radio show today with the NBA and if Pops was here. But so we're going to talk some Phillies here.
Right.
We are going to talk a little bit of Eagles. We got a couple Green Legion announcements to make. I'm going to make those right now. We have just secured our tailgate location for Atlanta.
Wow.
That will be the Hudson Grill, one block from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We have bought out the entire bar.
Nice.
For the Atlanta tailgate.
Awesome.
Awesome sauce.
Atlanta's getting a little bigger, man.
It's getting a little, it's moving. Buffalo and Atlanta have both been moving really, really well.
Yeah,
been really consistent.
Well, they heard that I'm the attending both of those.
Yeah,
so,
of course. You know. Of course.
Oh, yeah, that's what they heard.
And another nice announcement, great announcement, in the same building as Lulu's Bait Shack and Hooters down in Fort Lauderdale, our good friend Liam Kelly, who owns Con Murphy's here on the Boulevard, he just purchased a bar down there, and he has reserved the entire courtyard for Saturday of the Miami game. And the Green Legion and Con Murphy's will be having a little bit of a little party in the afternoon prior to our big Green Legion Legends party on
the
Saturday
Legion
night.
Legends.
The Legion Legends party at at the Parrot.
Yes.
So there's a lot of good stuff taking place here, and we're excited, and we appreciate the continued support that you guys are giving us, which has been overwhelming this year, honestly. And Diaz, again, thank you for doing what you do for us. Can't do it without you. And Hollis, thanks for coming down to Costa Rica and eating all my food.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I appreciate you having me down to Costa Rica.
No, please, brother. We're messing.
I enjoy myself thoroughly.
We got to take a trip here soon.
Yes.
We talked about that.
Yes. It might not be the way we were saying at first, but.
Are you getting away in August before this shit starts?
Oh, hell yeah.
Because this is going deep into February this year, I feel.
Yeah,
it.
I got an I idea. I got a, I, well, I also, I am, I might not be a Pennsylvania resident much longer.
Mm. Well, I know the business is not a Pennsylvania resident.
No, the business is a Pennsylvania resident. I was a Florida resident up until last year. Now it's back in Pennsylvania, but I don't want to spend that much money. I can pay half of my mortgage payments for a place in Florida with what I'd save if I'm down there. And it looks like Green Legion headquarters is going to be Delray Beach.
Awesome sauce.
With a cute little place right on the intercoastal.
No. Cute little place. Look at this guy. All domestic.
Tender.
Cute little 4-bedroom place with a huge pool and a big boat.
And white picket fence and daisies and sunflowers.
No, the white picket the daisies. No, there's no fence. There's just a knife to bleed you and push you into the salt water. All right, everybody, we're going to get back here on track. We appreciate Diaz and Hollis's take on everything NBA. You guys did get into it there. That was kind of fun. That was a fun conversation, and I still. We'll talk about it more.
Yeah, don't even start.
All right, we're talking Phillies right now.
Six and 19
in their last 25. Wow.
Man, 1-5 on the road trip.
Talk about implosion.
Swept by the Nationals.
Swept by the that. You know what? That was, Scherzer was in there.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Scherzer, thanks. It's bad enough that you have two different color eyes, you freak, and then you throw a shiner in there on us. I couldn't even. I'm like,
did you see that?
Really,
Did you see that video of him breaking his nose?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, he was trying to bunt in batting practice, and the ball hit him right in the
perfect. Fuck him.
But then he won.
He came out. And he's playing with a broken nose.
Yeah. Well, best pitcher in baseball.
Pretty much.
No. Clearly.
Yeah.
Name another one.
I really can't. So.
Yeah. So is the fuse already lit for Kapler?
I was talking to our esteemed colleague Mike McVay.
Oh
we
boy!
We were asking, did we think he was going to make it past the All-Star break? But and when you look at the schedule, we have games in our division. And these are games that we should win to. It should pull us back close.
And just so everybody knows, sorry to interrupt you, Hollis. Chris Sack, our official Phillies correspondent, is currently down celebrating the Chase Utley retirement ceremony.
He's not going to miss that.
And I don't even want to ask him to call in or bother him with anything. He's also with his dad, Fred. Fred, I hope you are well, sir. Miss you. Love you. You're a fucking awesome man. I hope those two are enjoying some father-son time at the ballpark. But
cool.
Please.
Well, see, what we were saying, does he make it past the All-Star break if we go? If we fall into what we're falling into now? We're four games out of first place. Now, when I was saying some of those games that we were losing because of the bullpen, he was coaching for the next damn game, I was saying that we was going to need those games because it's a tight race. Now we're four games out, and if we lose this series, which we probably could, and then we also play the Mets, then we play them again.
Gabe Kapler just told Segura that he's not the best hitter on the team.
Wow. Okay, so what?
I think that's a big deal.
Wow. But what
from a mental standpoint?
Well, the weird thing is,
Segura should not be batting fifth.
Segura
should be batting.
Well, you know,
lead off.
He's in a slump. He's in a slump. Once.
Don't care.
And don't care.
His career has established the fact that if he slumps, he's coming out, and you got to put him in the spot to come out. And you have to wait. It's not like the rest of the team's doing anything.
He hit a home run last night.
I get it, but that's not what we're looking for from Segura.
Right.
All right. I don't want All-Star Odubel Herrera from year one. I want him getting on base.
Yeah. I want him getting on base, too, and I just wondered if it was just
I'm okay with Harper leading off.
Yeah.
But Segura needs to be your two-hitter. He's either your leadoff or your two-hitter, period. No ifs, and buts. I don't care if he's slumping.
I like him better at the two.
I'd much rather have him at the two.
Yeah.
All right? But I don't know. Why is Cesar not back at the top of the lineup?
Because he's doing good where he's at.
By that rationale, Hollis,
that's what
you are doing good where you are, you have to be moved if you're not doing good where you are?
You should be.
I don't know.
I think they moved him to see more pitches. I don't know.
That's what he said. And the other, I'm trying to find this report because it had the statistics that I'm not finding. Since McCutchen went down on June 3rd, everyone that they've put in the leadoff place has sucked.
What about Kingery?
Sucked.
Is Kingery a leadoff hitter?
Kingery wasn't a leadoff
hitter. He sucked in the leadoff position.
Is Kingery a leadoff hitter?
No. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. So. Segura was like 2-for-21 before he was removed. Yeah. All right, so you want him in. I think it comes down to, this is just like with the Brett Brown thing. The players got –
2-for-21, so he gave him 5 games. Thanks, Gabe.
Okay, 2-for-21, they got to win these games. These are big games. You got to win the games.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
So they put in Bryce Harper, who's also slumping, and he's not performing
either. Well, okay, there's your thing. All right, why are you putting in Harper? It's nice to see Roman Quinn back, but he still looks like he's shaking the rust off.
Yeah, I like
– If Roman I'm Roman Quinn, I'm button every time.
He's fair.
Challenge. Right. I challenge you, Mr. Third Baseman or Mr. First Baseman, to catch me.
Right.
Fuck you.
That's not bad. I mean, they need something.
Every time. If you get Roman Quinn on base 2 out of 4 at bats every game, you're going to score runs.
Yep.
I feel like this Kapler thing, and listen, I'm not watching every single pitch. Honestly, I'm not watching every pitch.
I am.
You are. But I feel a little Brett Brown / rotations. What do you want him to do?
Thank God.
He's got these players. He's not the GM. Mm-hmm. These players need to go out and perform.
Right.
What do you want the manager to do?
This is what I want the manager to do. I want you to hold him. Don't not be their friend. Hold them accountable for things. And it's like you're going by the numbers. Be a coach. It's like you got a guy who's got 82 pitches in, and you take him out to pinch hit for Gosselin. It's 2 outs.
I think he's a woman.
It's two outs. Two man on first and second base, and you put Gosselin in, and your pitcher who's doing great, you take him out for Gosselin.
Yeah.
Hold on. Then you turn around and do a double switch for a guy who has
knocked three or four home runs in the first four games.
First four games to put in Nick Williams, who's 0-for.
I understand that. Those are all valid points. I'm not saying he's great. I'm just saying the whole team sucks.
Okay.
The players suck. But sorry for yelling into the
mic. No, you're good. But to what you're saying, it could be so much better if he held people accountable and he managed it right.
Man, but you say they do need to hold players accountable. Right. Here's
the problem. There's no fire in this fucking clubhouse. Right.
No, there's not.
Zero. And that's the manager.
Correct. Put it this way.
That is the manager.
He's trying to be everybody's friend, and he wants everybody
How
to like him.
How many years did we watch an abysmal Pat Burrell show no emotion whatsoever after he struck out for the fourth time in a game?
I don't need to see. Listen.
I do.
Why? Why? What does that do? What does that do?
Fires you up.
It fires you up.
It should fire them up.
It does. But, like, what do you want him to do? You want him to slam his bat? What does that do?
Yeah. I want him to break his bat over his leg. I want him to scream. I want fucking Kapler to get thrown out of a fucking game because of a close call. Something. Fire.
Okay, fine. I don't think that that's going to be bad, but I don't think that's going to fix it. All right?
I think everybody in that clubhouse right now goes in there, exactly what you said. They have no fear of accountability whatsoever.
None.
They sit back. They do, hey, let's just play our best. Hey, I got a better idea. Why don't you not keep fucking score?
Well, and I'll talk
because
of that,
that's what it feels like.
This is how you know.
This team is playing like a fucking Pee Wee League soccer team don't even keep score.
I'm on the gun. Let me get this part in. You know it's like we're saying, because last year Carlos Santana took a bat because they were playing Call of Fucking Duty in the club in the clubhouse.
Right.
After getting your ass kicked. Where is the man were you? You can't be.
He's gone.
You can't be their friends. You have to be the coach, and they have to be the player. You have to hold people accountable for stuff.
I understand what you're saying, but so unfortunately, I think that there's this. We don't want to get into Quimby's favorite topic of millennials, but I think there's like a generational thing that's different.
There is,
where
100%.
But listen, these guys are going to get paid. No. The manager goes first. So what we're saying is these guys, they can or cannot do whatever they want.
You healthy sit somebody.
Yeah.
And then and then what? They lose the game.
It embarrasses you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
hey, Bryce, I'm sitting you for Roman Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because you just signed a $330 million contract this year, and your ass isn't cashing.
Exactly.
I guess that – Listen, you're not wrong, but it's not one guy. Aaron Nola, not an all-star. Bryce Harper, an all-star.
Aaron Nola, all-star, playing with his head up his ass right now.
Okay, I'm talking about the players that are all-star talent and quality and have proven it.
Kingery is the only one that deserves.
Kingery is the only all-star on this team,
and nobody knows who Scott Kingery is in the rest of the rest of the country.
I mean, these guys, it's not one guy. Yeah, well, hold them accountable. You're right. But it's not like they've got three backups at every position that are going to come in that are even pro-ready.
No. Hold on a second. Okay, hold on. And it might be – sorry.
No. All I was saying was when I say hold people accountable, you have to do the little things right. If you don't do the little things right, the things like is going on now, our offense is abysmal. And you got a guy who hits a pop fly and doesn't run.
Marlon scored an error in the first inning, or scored a run on an error in the first inning.
And you playing against one of the best pitchers and known the man, and you pussyfooting around the bases on something like that.
Exactly.
You just have to. When I say hold accountable, you to start winning, you have to do all the little things correct.
And this is the complaint that we had with the last two managers.
Yes. Yeah.
That there's no fire there.
Yeah, no holding of accountability, man.
I get it. These athletes these days are a bunch of prisses.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of princesses. All right.
Well, it's also because they've got the control.
Well, they may have. They may have the control, but I'll tell you what. I don't know. I don't see that from the Phillies. Yeah.
The control I have is putting you in and out of the fucking lineup. That's the control I have.
It's true.
I put it this way, if I'm gonna go down in flames, it's gonna be you gonna do it my way or the fucking highway.
Exactly. I find all those
and right now, Gabe is coaching for his job.
Yeah, he's coaching for his
job. And
life
what
right
he's
now.
Not doing is everything that he needs to do as a manager to win.
I find all of those solutions we just talked about cosmetic. It's just to make it look better for TV and the fans.
Oh, hold on a second. Really? I agree with you.
Cosmetic.
No, to me, doing the little things correct, that makes you play a lot better. Because it's like if you look at I've had new coaches before, and all they did was come in and make us accountable for the little things we're supposed to do, like signing in for a meal, showing up at meetings on time, and then doing what you were supposed to do, not playing video games or shooting dice when you was actually supposed to be studying.
Shooting dice.
Well, the other thing though is like the video games.
Is that a black thing?
I think it's everybody.
No. Young people roll dice.
I shot dice with some coworkers. It was they
against the wall.
Against the wall. Against the wall. Yeah, I learned the game. It was actually pretty fun. There's a lot. Listen, cross culture. There's a lot. Dominoes and dice. A lot of fun that we don't. You know, we never got into. Especially like when you're bored between jobs and stuff like that. But I mean, when I was working, when no more cars were coming in. But what I'm saying is, I find like, yeah.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
I started spending a lot of time with Sonny.
Her room was completely black.
I would come home from school and sneak away any chance I got. I would serve the guys drinks and coffee and they'd give me tips.
We all know where this scene is going. I can't get into it much, but because it's a 7-minute scene.
Fun fact, you know that dude, the actor?
Oh, he's out.
Yeah.
Okay, so we all know that.
Oh, yeah, he's a fuck enter it.
Yeah, right. He was like leading some armed robbery gang.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I think all teams play video games in the clubhouse, and when you're winning, it doesn't matter, and when you're losing, that's the problem, and it's not.
It's not the problem. It's just...
It pissed off Santana.
So did Santana take a bat to the base to the video game?
That's what they said.
TV. Awesome.
What I think it was back in the bullpen.
It was
in the bullpen. So it was during the game they were playing.
They're playing video games
during the game.
Stop.
Yes, that's what it was. It wasn't that they were playing video games during downtime. It was that they were playing video games during the game.
We have Segura? Segura can't even see his strike zone now. Did you just see that?
Yeah.
That was a clear strike, and he's arguing with the home plate umpire.
I'm going to throw this out here without any backup, but unfortunately, when Hollis was on the Eagles, they were mainly winners, except for the first few years. But I seem to remember quite a number of videos of you singing and living it up on the bench right there.
Right.
Not necessarily, you know, like in the game. Like, that's normal, right?
But that was after my coach had already corrected me for parts that I had been in the game. So I that was to keep my head in the game.
We all mine. Come on.
Living it up.
But yeah.
I'm on fire right now.
So what I'm saying is, like, I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
But if you were on a good team or a bad team, that's normally how it was, right?
Well, yeah. But the thing was is like, what you saw
Scott Kingery batting 343.
After the coach had put
everything in. Gave
now, us during a game was probably bad if you were playing video games or whatever.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but it's like we did play video games like between meetings and stuff and at lunchtime. I was like, but, you know, when we was practicing, and, you know, during meeting time you met. And, like, during the game, you are supposed to be having fun. When you're kicking somebody's ass, you're having fun out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you see some people in distress, that means they're not having an awesome game.
So that's my point. Basically, what I'm saying about this Phillies team is I'm still angry about them not spending the fucking money. I'm still angry about them not spending the money. They have all this money. They didn't spend money
on pitching
for 3 years. They didn't spend money. The one.
No. I'm on fire tonight.
Okay. Quimby is playing the Lion King trailer.
Got this.
You got it. Go ahead, Diaz.
I'm trying. To produce more.
There it is. Go ahead, Carlos.
What happened? What'd you do?
Get out.
Do you know the scene? Give it a second.
It's losing fun? Is losing fun?
No.
What are you having fun for?
Moneyball.
Yeah.
All right, we gotta move.
We gotta wrap it up. But what I'm saying is, all the problem with this Phillies team is if you're gonna go, they didn't spend for 3 years, and I'm fine with that.
Right.
I'm fine with that.
I don't think there was anything worthy of them spending money on.
That's fine. They're not. They weren't ready. They didn't have any young core.
And you know what? If anything, this slump is showing every weakness that this team currently has.
Absolutely. Correct. But in a league where there is no cap
and you can buy,
we are the biggest market with one team, unlike L.A., Chicago, New York, anyone else. We should be able to spend the way out of this, especially if you don't spend money for 4 years.
Texas and Florida.
No, but I'm talking about with one team.
Yeah, well, okay.
I'm talking about one team.
Green Legion Radio, everybody, 8:40 p.m. We're getting ready to go to Delilah's. It's no longer Delilah's Den. It's just Delilah's.
When did that change?
Did you drive over?
Yeah.
You still have my pass?
Yeah.
I'm getting both of them from you motherfuckers.
Okay, right. I get everything.
I'm kidding. All right. Got to talk some Eagles here.
Okay.
Boys. Yeah, let's talk birds. All
right. Got to talk about it first. Give and take, pros and cons. One open practice this year, and $10 that goes towards the
Autism
Foundation. No. I have my take on it, if you'd like to hear.
Sure. Why don't we all just do – why don't you and I give our takes, and Hollis, the player, we'll listen to what he has to think about that.
I believe that it's a pain in the ass for them to take that practice over there. It's a cushy little silver-lined environment over at the NovaCare complex. I get it. Maybe they don't want the distractions. And you know what? At the end of this season upcoming, if they win another Super Bowl, because that may have helped them be better prepared for the regular season and playoffs, okay. Outside of anything other than a Super Bowl victory, however, like it's a bit anal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. One thing that the Eagles were always able to accomplish is to build momentum for the upcoming season. Chip Kelly took that away when they took camp out of Lehigh.
And the Eagles were one of the later teams to change that.
Yeah. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You know what? If it's easier for the players, you know, sleeping on dorm room mattresses.
Brutal.
I'm sorry. No, especially for a guy like you. You know, you have to have the exact posturpedic mattress that fits your body. You're basically breaking through a dorm room mattress.
Pretty much.
Hey, destroying man. Wow, I didn't feel that coil last night. But I don't know. My take is it's a little parochial. It's a little embarrassing. I don't think anybody has a problem with the $10. I don't think anybody certainly has no issues with the Autism Foundation. What I think is that the owner of an organization that is worth as much as this one is should donate $10 for every person that walks through the door that day.
I haven't heard that. That's the first time I've heard that. That is a better idea of doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, or
it's almost like a 401k plan. We're going to match. Or match.
Yeah. Match.
You know what? Match would dissolve this entire debate.
Right.
Yeah.
Think about it. If that stadium is filled, you know, if they pass 50, 60, 70,000 through, I mean, it's a good bit. But you have it, dude.
Yeah, you have it. Yeah.
50,000 times 10, 500,000. Really? Really? And you're doing this once. You're only giving the entire fan base one opportunity to see the Eagles in practice, where 6 years ago you could watch every single one.
Yep.
I think it's jovial. I think it's parochial.
Perhaps. This is my thought on it, and, you know, apologies to anyone that's listening that, you know, that has, you know, families and the kids and all that. I go to those open practices, and I also understand – I've been at NovaCare practices.
Right.
NovaCare practices is like 2.5 fields, right?
Sometimes those practices are the only way that certain demographics are ever going to get to watch.
I understand that. But also, the kids aren't watching it. They like going into the stadium. It's gorgeous. It's great. Thank you.
Right.
Some
kids aren't watching it, but go ahead.
Yeah. Some kids are. But I you sit down there, and I don't want to – it's like, I understand people that are like, this is ridiculous. I can do this. I can listen. We here at the Green Legion, we give our preseason tickets away.
Right.
You have to pay $40 for parking, but you know, you get to see an NFL game preseason. Right. But when you're watching the practice, most of the time, if you're, you know, a kid, you don't really know what's going on. They're watching for what's practice? 2 hours?
About 2 hours.
2 hours with a couple breaks.
Couple breaks, and then they interact with the crowd.
Yeah, that's good. But you got to get up, you know, for a 10 a.m. Now the practices are at 7 p.m., but you got to show up there. It's an all-day affair. There's no 7-year-old boy or girl that's waiting to get at the front row. I'm just saying, you know what? Honestly, I don't care about this, and if I have kids, if I'm lucky enough to have kids one day, I'm not caring about that. The Phillies don't have open practices. The Sixers don't have open practices. The Flyers and Voorhees don't have open practices. Historically, the Eagles did from Widener to Westchester.
The Green Legion pays for parking.
Oh, the Green Legion pays for parking. How about that? I forgot about that.
The Green Legion has always given money to families because we want to give these to people that might not be able to go see a game.
Correct.
As a matter of fact, last year, the Green Legion helped a family stay in their house for another month.
That's right.
We gave a woman and her 4 children
in Upper Darby, right?
A very decent sum of money to keep them going.
Awesome. Now, before you, I'm going to tell you, it's just one. It's really only one take I had on this. I feel like it's unfortunate that we don't get as a player that you don't get to interact with the fans like we did. And it's like I still see to this very day, people come up to me when they were like, are they grown now? But when they were kids, they got pictures with me. I got my autograph like my first couple of years playing and stuff. And it's like you don't know that you, as a player, you don't know that the impact that you're having on the community until like later on down the line. But I feel like it has a bigger impact on the community and the reason why the Eagles have such a great fan base. And so I think it's kind of like that's not so much a slap in the face. I feel like we losing touch, kind of a little bit of touch with the fans and what the organization was really built on.
That's a great point. And you know, I would imagine, you know, you run into some dude or some chick that's, you know, 20 years old. They're like, oh my god, I met you when I was 6, and my dad, and I didn't even know who you were. My dad, like,
yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what Hollis is thinking with a 20 year old girl.
Yeah.
But no, it's kinda,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, you know, and unfortunately, the next day, the Vikings are having like 17 open practices. Yeah.
The Vikings suck donkey dick.
Yeah,
As a fan, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I would love to go watch Sixers practice. It's not open.
See, football is a little different than basketball. Football is done in the open field. And I think it's for the players also. It's like the players are kind of missing out too, Because when we had those practices in Lehigh, dude, it was, everybody was everywhere. They was, you know, they was clapping and having fun, and they was at all the drills and stuff. So they actually gave you something to come out to practice for, to look good and to, right, you know, make the crowd cheer. And the guys, they'll never know that, because it's like it's just like you said, certain people who can't actually get to the game will actually get to see some professional football.
Right.
And I feel like that's where we're actually kind of taking it away from the city.
I think with the link, I understand moving it down to NovaCare because it has the your own equipment, your training equipment, mm-hmm, your you know, it's where you go to work every, right, day. It's your office.
Right.
I get all that, and that makes sense to me. But also the space is limited for, mm-hmm, fans, and what would be nice is, you know, I don't know how other teams do it, but whether it be Lehigh or something else, is if they duplicated cost,
right,
that would just go into our tickets and our hats and our jerseys and all that. But if there's a way that they could put it in another space where your training camp is like NovaCare, with all the same equipment and not college facilities, and the fans could come out and see it. Because, I mean, I would go to Lehigh once or twice a year myself. Mm. It was fun. Which day are you taking off? It was great. But in the end, I want my team to be as best as they can be. And if Hollis Thomas sprains his knee and he's on a Lehigh dorm room, I'd rather him be going to the NovaCare Center, yeah, with your ice tubs and the treadmills underwater and all that shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, too.
And also, your locker. You go to your locker. This is my space.
Yeah.
It's not some, like, Lehigh Valley wrestler or wherever, or, you know, Lehigh University.
They had a nice setup up in Lehigh, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, but it's not what the NFL can provide. So,
all right.
I mean, it's unfortunate.
I like your take. I like all of our takes, yeah, honestly. Like, losing touch.
Yeah.
And you know what? I believe that might be just the way of the dodo.
Yeah,
these days,
right,
you know, social media actually brings everybody closer together, right, so that you don't have to touch.
Right.
However, I don't know, man. It's still better to see a boob than actually look at one on Pornhub.
This is
see
so
your
true.
Boob. Touching boobs is good.
Well, I'm sorry. Aren't you getting married in a?
No, I mean, I have my own.
You have your own boobs?
Yeah.
We all set to touch.
No, I have my own.
Just so you know, Abby, now we know. I mean, now we know who owns what. Okay, we have to get to this. We have to get to have to.
Because
we got 5 minutes of video we got to go through.
Okay.
Video.
Okay.
On a podcast, on a radio show.
It's okay. You're going to be able to hear it. We got into a debate last week about who the best punt returner in Eagles history was.
Oh, yeah.
Vi Sekahima, Brian Mitchell,
Westbrook,
Deshaun. Or Darren Sproles.
Darren Sproles.
Two specific punt returns were brought up, and I am thankful to say, as I point myself just a little bit to the northeast, fuck you, Giants. They're both against you.
The New Jersey
and both in the Meadowlands.
Yep.
All right. One Brian Westbrook punt return against the Giants that catapulted them into the playoffs.
Correct.
They were down 10-7. And, of course, Deshaun's punt return that capped a 21-point deficit with 7 minutes and 52 seconds left to go in the game. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to listen.
Continue to struggle. I'm just not so sure after this week.
Well, he's going to have plenty of time on the clock, even though he has no timeouts. A minute and a half, that's a lot of time.
Jeff Eagles will kick. And you know it'll be a directional kick attempt. Bounces at the 21 and picked up by Westbrook. Westbrook on the return. Here comes Westbrook. He's got a lead. Here comes Westbrook. He gets by. Brian Westbrook going all the way. Touchdown, Eagles. Don't play it now.
You hear that,
and
right?
The Eagle bench is going wild.
And this I love that. All right. I don't want to interject a biased company standpoint right now, but I love what we do from that standpoint. We're literally one of the only fucking fan bases, and I believe we're the largest organization that fronts this, that heads this off.
Right.
Where you can be in a city as big as New York and it just sounded like a goddamn home game.
That's
there.
That's right.
Yep.
One more time. Uno mas, por favor.
sure after this week?
Well, he's going to have plenty of time on the clock, even though he has no timeouts. A minute and a half, that's a lot of time.
Jeff and Beagles
Westbrook
will kick.
Darted up that sideline.
It'll be a directional kick attempt. Bounces at the 21 and picked up by Westbrook. Westbrook on the return. Here comes Westbrook. He's got a lead. Here comes Westbrook. He gets by. Brian Westbrook going all the way. Touchdown, Eagles. Don't play it now.
What were you doing then?
Jumping up and down.
Yeah, out of control, right?
Out of control. Because I was sitting on the bench and I was looking at the jumbotron. I was like, yeah, 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 yeah!
I remember exactly where I was for that. I had a we were up in the mountains. We got wasted. All the girls started crying.
What was this, 2000, 2001?
2002. Yeah, 2002. It was a terrible game. We're all hungover. We're just laying around. No fun. This game was no fun. This game sucked.
Totally.
And then that happened, and
oh my god! It was the most
left?
Boring fucking game. No, it was a minute 32.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And we still had to go out with defense and kick some ass.
And we're like, this fuck. And that was at the time too when the Giants kind of had the number.
They kind of had our number.
Over the last 5 years, they were like 8-2 or something.
Yeah, something
like that.
But yeah. I think we had beat them for the first
time.
We're
like, holy shit, we're gonna win this game. We were just cursing and hungover, and this sucks. And then all of a sudden, we win the game. It was great.
I was at a corporate training seminar in Cancun.
Oh, my gosh. Sexual sexual.
No. I was the only asshole that left the entire group to go to Champ Sports Bar in Cancun so I could watch the Eagles game. And I'm literally one of three people. Now, imagine Cancun Champs, December, right?
November.
Was it November or December?
Yeah. It was November, I think.
There's like three games left in the season.
It was like December, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was December.
I'll look it up.
in our small little corner, three of us just erupted.
Erupted.
It was great. Okay, so obviously, awesome. Well,
October 19th, 2003.
19th. Oh.
Yeah, October.
October.
19th, 2003. That's crazy.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go.
DeSean Jackson's going to at least get a return.
And it's Troy again.
Matt Dodge went to that glove on his hand because of fumbled snaps. The kickers worked out in the stadium here on Friday. Officials are getting together.
Sorry, hold on.
Waits. And it's a line drive kick. Jackson bobbles it. And now has to try and recover. DeSean Jackson gets a block.
Got a huge block.
DeSean Jackson still not in, and now in for the touchdown. No flags. Unbelievable. No time left.
Gorgeous.
Eagles win.
Unsung hero on that play, Jason Avant.
Was he the one that threw that block?
Yep.
Was it on Dodge?
No, it was on a linebacker.
On a linebacker.
Oh, it was just a brutal.
Do you know what the
Dodge was on the ground.
Jackson bobbles it and now has to try and recover. DeSean Jackson gets a block.
Oh, God, Avant crushed him.
DeSean Jackson still not in and now in for the touchdown. No flag.
I love that he doesn't keep the ball. And just throws it into the stands.
No time left.
Did you notice at the end of this game? At the end of this game, Tom Coughlin
went right to the kicker. And what the fuck are you doing? Why did you kick to him?
We're looking at it
on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
Hold on. You can't see it, but this is great. Ready? Coughlin, right to him. Look at this. What the fuck are you doing?
Tell you. What did I tell you?
What the fuck are you doing?
He was cut the next day. That sucks.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, so what you're saying is, listen.
All right, so the question is, not so much who was the best punt returner in Eagles history, because I think we all agreed it was Vi Sikahema.
Vi X Vi.
All Vi did was return kicks and punts.
As a position player. One play in history.
What was the better punt return?
Dude, DeSean all the way, man. You're down by that much. The game, we were just looking at overtime. Now, Westbrook's play was
amazing. Like, you know,
it kept,
no, if you didn't have Deshaun's play, Westbrook would be the best return in history. But that play, just to come back from that far down against the defending Super Bowl champions, might I add,
that is cool.
Yeah,
and I was like, but I still like ours because we had no, they had shell shocked our offense.
Yeah,
and
then that's
like,
true.
And we had nothing. And it was like we were dead. It was like, okay, we'll get this. He had a minute, 15 seconds.
Yeah, for whatever reason, you guys could not move the ball that day.
Yeah.
They were like, a good defense, though.
Yeah, but it was like one of those things where it's like he's got a minute and 52 seconds left with no timeouts. It was something like that, a little time with no timeouts. And I was like, oh, well, we lost this one. Then, So it was a little bit.
We're not going to that one. I'm not going to win Hollis over because he was on the team.
Yeah.
But
you know
for
what?
Me, it's like there was no time left in that game. It was a Mike Vick redemption year. It was against the Super Bowl champions. We were down 21 points with 7 minutes left. You know, with all due respect,
I was in the one.
This was for the division that game. That was in December.
Yeah. That was in December. Yeah. Yeah. So
I just like ours because I was there.
Yeah,
he finally admits.
Well, no, I would admit that's a fair point. But no, I would admit it, and it was exciting. It was like the one I watched Deshaun do. I think y'all had traded me already.
Nice, Hoskins swinging the bat. Well, everybody, we're going to talk about Cravon LeBlanc next week because I think that's an interesting story.
Yeah,
but we don't have time. We're actually 2 hours into Green Legion Radio right now. Hollis Handicap. I could go through with you guys my picks for this week, and I can tell you at 1:30 p.m. today, I was as high as $2,900 win. I was in fourth place in the $100,000 to first place contest. I was up there. And, of course, Daniel fucking Berger. I want you to tweet Daniel Berger from the PGA tomorrow. Okay. The Green Legion says, get your head out of your ass. You mental fucking midget.
I don't know if I'm going to do that, but...
You have no choice. You're fired if you don't.
Daniel Berger.
I'm just kidding.
Daniel Berger, 59?
Probably him. I went from 4th to 153rd place. I have in my card... Paul Casey, -7, tied for 6. Mark Leishman, -4, tied for 36. Chez Reavy, -9, tied for 2nd. Keegan Bradley, -9, tied for 2nd. Kyle Stanley, -5, tied for 26. That's a huge card. And Daniel Berger, +2. After going -2, or 2 under, yesterday. Fuck. Oh, it pisses me off. But what pisses me off even more is, ready for this? My other card, Brooks Koepka, -3, tied for 47th. Paul Casey, -7, tied for 6th. Louis Oosthuizen, -6, tied for 13th. Scott Brown, $6,600 player, -6, tied for 13th. Vaughn Taylor, -6, tied for 13th, Hudson Swafford. My vagina hurts. I pulled out Thursday morning. So I couldn't even replace him.
Wow.
I've got a fucking card to die for, and I am an average of 50 points behind because I have one player who pulled out of the tournament. If I am 50 points on average, I'm at 287. That puts me in this tournament. Oh, this is going to piss me off. 287. 243rd place out of 6,127 people. Wow. And $700 in. Fucking pricks. Hollis Handicap, what do you got for us this week?
I got a couple of them, actually.
Wait, first of all, we got to go over the bad news.
The bad news is I went
over 3 last.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're 10-9.
10-9, yes.
Okay. You're still over 50%. Okay. That's it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with tomorrow's game with the New York Mets playing against at Chicago Cubs. Take the Cubs and the over.
And why is that? Because Chase Utley hates the Mets.
Yes. And we all hate the Mets.
Jesus hates the Mets.
Yes. Tomorrow's Philly Miami games. tomorrow, Philly Miami game. They don't have the spread up yet, but I think we're going to win tomorrow. I don't know about tonight, but I think we'll win tomorrow. So take the Phillies, and then the Atlanta Washington game tomorrow. I'm saying take Washington. They're on a bit of a hot streak. Atlanta is too, but I feel like Washington is going to give us the ability to come out the four games behind them.
Now, both those teams are hot because they've been playing us, Hollis.
Pretty much.
Because so far, Halloween's a bigger letdown than being a Mets fan.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
That's the best.
The best is Stewie throwing his Met hat down.
Yeah, yeah.
Being a Mets fan.
You guys, this was fun.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Man, Friday night show. Yeah, what do you think? You want to go over to a corner bar around here?
Why not?
If there's any around that are open.
Yeah, I think we can find that.
Oh, yes.
Everybody, thank you extremely much. Is that even right?
Very much.
Very much. For joining with us for another edition of Green Legion Radio. For Hollis, Philly, Mike, Diaz, and myself, we are going to go live it up, baby. We'll see you next week.
TTB!